stronger and more confident than I had before, but with a much, much smaller wallet. I had only 5 gold pieces left, but I wanted to see if there was anything else useful that I could buy. When I walked into the general goods store, I had a similar experience with the man behind the counter standing up and welcoming me. The sheer quantity of things that the man had in his shop was overwhelming. There were resources galore, crafting equipment, potions, oils, and even a few stray pieces of armor. But I didn't spend too much time in there since I was nearly broke anyway. My next stop was the magic shop. When I walked in, I expected the same sort of greeting that I received when I went inside the armorer and general goods store. But instead, I wasn't greeted at all. There was a bookshelf inside with several books, and a few tables with scrolls sitting on top. Inside a glass case were several pieces of jewelry, some plain gold or silver, and some topped with emeralds, diamonds, and other stones. There was a smell of incense burning in the air, and a large white bird was perched on a wooden peg in the corner. An old man with a scattered gray beard and a scholar's robe was dusting off the bookshelf, and the minute I walked through the door, he turned and said, "Don't touch anything." Not the best way to welcome your customers, I thought, but I shrugged it off and browsed the goods anyway. All the scrolls were out of my price range. For example, scroll, arcane missile. Unleash a targeted arcane blast. Requires 10 intelligence. Arcane magic level 1. Durability 10 out of 10. Quality average. Rarity uncommon. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Price 500 gold. Scroll boost strength. Plus 5 strength for 5 minutes. Requires 10 intelligence. Divine magic level 1. Durability 10 out of 10. Quality average. Rarity uncommon. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Price 450 gold. Scroll, conjure food. Conjure a basic edible food ration. Requires 10 intelligence, conjuring level 1. Durability, 10 out of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, uncommon. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Price, 350 gold. My ears tingled as I looked at all the different scrolls. Archery was fun, and there was nothing like hand-to-hand combat. But magic? The idea of being a badass caster who rained chaos down on his enemies was just too exciting of a thought. "What are you looking for?" the old man asked. "Just browsing," I replied. "Of course," the old man huffed. "I sense no magic coming from you, so what else would you be doing? By the looks of it, you're probably poor as well."
"I'm only level 3."
"I know," the man said confidently. He must have inspected me already. "I just started the game."
"Game?"
I shook my head. Again, I forgot that no one but me seemed to consider Eden's Gate a game. "Never mind."
"Are you looking to become a magic user?" the man asked.
"I like the idea, but don't even know where to start." I pointed towards the scrolls. "I just read one of these, right?" The man groaned.
"You can learn spells through scrolls or spellbooks so long as you have the requirements. For example, you can learn arcane missile so long as you have arcane magic level 1 skill and 10 intelligence."
"I have 10 intelligence. How do I learn arcane magic level 1?
"Someone with arcane magic level 35 or higher has to teach you the basics," the man chuckled. "Someone who trusts you. Imagine if anyone could just read a scroll and learn magic. We'd have kids lobbing fireballs all over Eden's Gate."
"So if I buy one of these scrolls, it's useless?"
"If you haven't had someone teach you the basics, I suppose they could make cute wall decor."
I sighed loudly. Learning magic was obviously going to be much harder than picking up archery or daggers. Not that I had the money to buy a scroll anyway. "Thanks," I said and turned for the door. As soon as I put my hand on the door handle, the man yelled in his raspy voice,
"Wait!"
I turned my head and the man had moved behind his counter and waved a hand to come closer.
"Come here for a moment. I might have a proposition for you."
"Yeah?" I asked as I stepped in front of the counter.
"Are you a traveler? I've never seen you in Linden before."
I guess you could say that. I've been staying in Adenfall. He wouldn't understand if I told him I was from Earth.
Have you ever committed a crime?
I thought back to the time I had to appear in court to fight a speeding ticket. And I guess downloading copyrighted music and games was technically a crime, but I was pretty sure those weren't the kind of crimes he was talking about. Not really.
Well, let me tell you about a crime. Gerard, the general goods vendor next door, has started selling some of the same scrolls that I offer, and undercutting the prices, sometimes up to 50%.
The old man snarled his nose.
Obviously, his one-stop shop is causing a huge impact on my business and others. In fact, there was once an herbalist in town, and as soon as he started offering herbs at bottom-of-the-barrel prices, he damn well ran her out of town.
I wasn't sure if I should tell him that competition was good for industry, or if the Gerard guy was trying to be the Walmart of Linden. Either way, I wasn't sure what he was getting at.
What does this have to do with me? What is your name? He asked.
My name is Gunnar. And you are?
Enos.
The man held out a hand, which I shook.
Enos Gray.
I happen to be skilled in several branches of the magic, and I could give you a lesson and throw in a couple spells if you would be willing to help me put a stop to his bad business practices.
What is it that you would have me do, exactly?
If you've been in Gerard's shop, I'm sure you've seen what a mess it is.
He threw his arms up.
He has things scattered everywhere, no organization whatsoever. But he keeps his scrolls sitting in an open crate near the front counter.
Enos turned and opened a cabinet door behind him, producing three thick blank sheets of parchment and a feathered pen.
If you could sabotage his stock by dropping a few phony scrolls in his inventory, word would eventually get around that he's selling fake scrolls, ruining his credibility for magic items.
Enos lifted the feathered pen and tapped it against his inkwell.
What do you say? A favor for me, a favor for you.
You have been offered a quest. Unfair trade practices.
Enos wants you to slip fake scrolls inside the Linden General Goods store stock. Reward, spell training, 100 XP. Do you accept this quest? Accept / decline.
I took a moment to weigh my options. Most RPGs had obvious perks that you could gain by doing certain quests, but there were also underlying consequences to completing many of them. If what Eno said was true, then Gerard was selling scrolls at a much lower price, which would provide me with a nice touch point for buying more spells as I leveled up at a lower cost. But then again, I really wanted to get some magic training under my belt, and I wasn't sure when I would run into someone else who could train me.
I was willing to roll the dice on Enos.
I'll do it, I said.
You have accepted the quest, unfair trade practices.
Enos cracked a devious smile and immediately started scribbling on the scrolls. Within a few minutes, he had scribed three very convincing copies, and when I looked at them, I couldn't tell the difference between the fakes and the ones he had on display.
If you get caught, I expect that you'll take full responsibility. As far as you know, this conversation never took place.
My lips are sealed.
You've received fake magic scrolls. Attempting to cast these will create nothing but a nasty flatulent sound. Requires zero intelligence. Durability, 10 out of 10. Quality, above average. Rarity, rare. Weight, 0.1 kilograms.
I walked from Enos's arcane shop feeling a bit nervous and a bit wicked about what I was about to do.
How much would Gerard suffer, and what if I got caught?
Whatever the case, the thought of learning magic was more than enough to make me throw caution to the wind.
Chapter 8 Month 1, Day 2, Year 1
Welcome! Gerard stood from behind his counter and smiled. Oh, you're back so soon.
I scratched the back of my head and smiled back at him.
Yeah, there were a few things I wanted to have a look at. Great, great, make yourself at home. I assure you that we have the lowest prices in town. If you find a lower price on something anywhere in Linden, just let me know and I'll match it.
I walked over to the counter and looked down at some plants that he had resting under the glass.
Price matching? You're an awfully competitive salesman.
Gerard snickered.
Well, I want to make sure that everyone in Linden can afford the things they need. Some people say that I'm forcing profits down for other businesses by offering such low prices, but I think I'm bringing more travelers in and preventing the other shops from price gouging.
He was already making me feel bad about my quest. I pointed down to one of the random plants.
Are you the only one offering these kinds of herbs in town?
Gerard touched his cleanly shaven chin.
Sometimes the innkeeper has a few herbs stocked, but that's rare. There used to be a pretty little lady who also sold herbs at the end of town, but she got caught up with some swordsmith and they ran off and got married. Last I heard, they built a farm over near Shallow Marsh.
I thought. Either Enos or Gerard was lying. And given how friendly Gerard was, it was probably Enos.
But I also remember how friendly Trainer was, right before he kicked me in the chest when I entered the tutorial. Things weren't always as they seemed in Eden's Gate.
I spotted the crate that Enos had told me about in the corner of my vision, then looked up to an axe that Gerard had hanging on the wall behind him.
Do you mind if I have a look at that axe?
Gerard turned.
Oh, of course. Let me just get my step stool here.
Gerard walked from behind the counter and grabbed a small wooden stool, which he moved to right in front of the axe. He stepped up on it and reached for the axe, and while his back was turned, I flipped open my satchel and tossed the fake scrolls into the crate with the rest, rolling my hand around to mix them up.
You have completed all requirements for the quest, Unfair Trade Practices. Return to Enos to collect your reward.
Hey, what are you doing? Gerard asked and stepped off the stool, holding the axe in both hands.
Sorry, I just noticed that you had a few magic scrolls down here. I wanted to have a look.
Gerard placed the axe on the counter and smiled. Oh, you're interested in magic. You don't seem like you'd be a magic user.
Not yet. I'm still only level 3, but hopefully soon.
Gerard lifted an axe a little off the glass counter and leaned over. I don't tell many people this, but I happen to know a little bit of magic myself.
He raised an eyebrow comically a few times.
I love helping other people, so if you buy this wood axe, I'll give you some basic magic training for free. As a matter of fact, you've been so kind, I'll give you the axe for 50% off. Only 3 gold pieces.
My stomach turned. For the bargain price of 3 gold, I would have had a nice axe and gotten the magic training I wanted, without having to perform any dirty deeds. But the damage had been done already. There was no way I would be able to find the fake scrolls in the mess of others that he had. I'd have to live with the choice I had already made. Apparently the game knew that too. I didn't even get a prompt for another quest. I walked up to the counter and touched the axe, making an effort to pretend that I was still making up my mind. I knocked my knuckle on the counter a couple times and snapped my lips together. You know, I'm going to have to sleep on it. I'll come back later if it's still available.
Gerard beamed a kind smile and nodded. I understand. If there's anything else you're interested in, just let me know.
I nodded back. Thanks. I turned around and pushed through the door of the shop, hard, hoping that I hadn't just totally fucked Gerard's life up too much. He really seemed like a nice guy. I spent a few moments gathering myself before I walked back to Enos's arcane shop, a smug look on my face. He was busy feeding his bird as I stepped through the door and turned to me as I entered.
I take it you have some news.
It's done, I said.
You have completed the quest, Unfair Trade Practices. You have gained 100 XP.
Enos rubbed his hands together and showed a wide smile.
Good job. Finally that caveman will get what he deserves.
You lied to me, I spat.
Lied?
Enos tossed a piece of bread towards his bird. The bird caught the bread expertly and chomped it down as Enos paced behind his counter.
I have every intention of holding up my end of the bargain.
You made it sound like Gerard was a monster and said that he ran the herbalist out of town. He seemed like a good guy, and he told me the herbalist left for love.
I never said that he was a monster.
I said that he was a bad businessman. And the other stuff...
Enos shrugged and smirked.
It's all just minor details.
Maybe you're the monster.
Enos rolled his eyes.
Oh, please. I'm the monster? Did you sabotage Gerard because you thought he was such a bad guy? Or did you do it because you wanted to learn magic?
I puffed up my chest and swallowed, but I didn't reply. He was right, after all. Had he not offered me the chance to learn some magic, I wouldn't have had any interest in getting involved in their affairs.
Right. Now quit being a little pansy and let's get this over with. I'd rather not spend too long teaching some low-level how to blow himself up.
I stepped forward as Enos started shuffling through scrolls.
I'm skilled in arcane, fire, and water magic. Which branch would you prefer to learn?
If only I had access to a gaming guide. Had I been playing any other game, I would have loaded up a wiki page or forum to plan a path towards the best possible build. But being stuck in Eden's Gate offered me no such option. The game forced you to figure out just about everything on your own.
What would you suggest? I asked. Every branch of magic serves a purpose. You can't go wrong no matter what path you choose.
Enos tilted his head sideways and looked me up and down.
Might I suggest fire magic?
He turned around and opened his cabinet, withdrawing two scrolls from it. He slid one on top of the glass.
Judging by the fact that you're an archer, this should help you.
Scroll, fire arrow. Ignite a flying arrow with fire, causing additional fire damage upon impact. Requires 10 intelligence. Requires archery level 1, fire magic level 1. Durability 10 out of 10. Quality average, rarity uncommon, weight 0.1 kilograms.
And this?
He slid another scroll on top of the glass.
Is a nice compliment.
Scroll, fire blast. Release a blazing ball of fire. Requires 10 intelligence. Fire magic level 1. Durability, 10 out of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, uncommon. Weight, 0.1 kilograms.
Is there any limit to how much magic I can learn? Learning magic is only limited by your own personal mental capacity. Assuming you can remember all your spells, you could learn all the magic in existence. But even master magic users usually only scratch the surface of what's available. I've never met someone who knows it all.
All right, I'll go with fire. It seemed like a good place to start, and since I wasn't limited to learning anything, I could always try a different branch later on. Plus, releasing a blazing ball of fire sounded really fucking cool.
Enos grinned.
Very well, let's turn you into a firecaster.
He flicked two of his fingers in a come-hither motion.
Lean forward.
I leaned my head forward. Just like this? I asked.
Enos ignored my question and simply placed his open palm on the top of my head.
In my peripheral vision, I could see him close his eyes and raise his free hand.
With my fire, I release your fire. Become one with fire.
His voice boomed. Heat poured over my body, and it felt as if energy was coursing through my veins. My skin crawled with something that I could only describe as power. And then suddenly, the feeling died away. You've gained 10% resistance to fire. Advancement. You have learned the skill, fire magic. Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn. Fire magic is linked to the base stat, intelligence. Increase your intelligence to increase your ability to perform fire magic.
I gained magic resistance? I asked.
Of course,
Enos said.
Anyone skilled in certain types of magic automatically gains a small amount of resistance, or even additional characteristics when they learn them.
He reached for the two scrolls and handed them to me.
Now, all you have to do is read.
I looked at the first scroll, Fire Arrow, and the words seemed to shift around on the page as if they were floating in liquid. When I saw them on the counter, the writing had just looked a lot like a scribble of strange letters and symbols. But now that I had learned fire magic, it had changed, and I had a feeling deep inside my gut that I understood it somehow. As soon as I tried to read the first word, the letters floated off the page, and a soft, unintelligible voice whispered something in my head.
The words disappeared into thin air, and the scroll vanished into a puff of red mist.
Advancement, you have learned the spell Fire Arrow.
I repeated the process with the second scroll.
Advancement, you have learned the spell Fire Blast.
That's it? I asked. Now I can cast spells? I looked down at my hands, trying to figure out if anything had changed.
Don't try to cast any fire magic in here, Eno snapped. If you burn my scrolls, I'll have your head. Here.
Eno stepped behind his counter and pushed open a back door.
Come outside.
I followed Enos behind his shop, which was mostly an empty lot of grass. On each side was a wooden fence, and several meters in the distance was a sloping stone wall, the side of a rising path that led off to a hillside.
Just will yourself to cast Fire Blast at the wall, and please, Enos stressed, make sure your hand is pointed towards the wall.
I lifted my hand out and pointed my palm toward the center of the wall, and concentrated on casting Fire Blast. In an instant, I could feel heat surge around my wrist and slither towards my fingertips. In front of my palm, a golf ball-sized globe of fire formed, then rocketed away from me almost as fast as one of my arrows. Flames trailed the fireball as it flew through the air, and it landed against the wall with a low boom, searing the rock as the flames dissipated.
Holy shit! I said as I looked at my hands. Did you see that? Oh my God!
Enos rolled his eyes.
Yeah, I saw it, and we better hurry back inside just in case someone else saw it too.
Wait, I want to do it again, I huffed. And I still need to test my fire arrow spell.
Enos pushed on my shoulder and indicated the door.
You'll have plenty of time to practice your magic when you're out on your own. People don't take lightly to individuals casting damaging spells like Fire Blast right in the middle of town.
I followed Enos back into his shop, my breath still heavy with excitement over my new ability.
I noticed in my stats bar that my mana had dropped about 20%, so at my current level I'd be able to cast Fire Blast about 5 times before my mana pool was empty. However, the bar was slowly but surely filling back up.
Well, thanks for your help, I said.
Yeah, sure,
Enos said and flicked his finger towards the door, shooing me away.
Be careful with your new magic, and if I find that you lied to me about Gerard, you'll need a lot more than Fire Blast to save you.
I chuckled at how crabby the old man was as I exited his shop. He certainly wasn't a people person, that's for sure. And my Fire Blast, fuck, that was awesome. I couldn't wait to get out of the village so I could experiment with it more. I marched towards the inn to find Jax, and paused at the bulletin board that was posted outside. It was already dark outside, but the lantern hanging over the inn door gave off enough light that I could still make out the various parchments that were nailed to the board's wood. Some of them said, "Help," with descriptions of various tasks or items that people were seeking. Others said, "Wanted dead," with photos or descriptions of individuals. Bounties listed were between 10 and 300 gold, depending on the task.
A nice way to make money, I thought. I made a mental note to return to the board if I ever needed a straightforward way to make cash.
The sound of violins, tapping, and people chattering bounced off the walls as I made my way into the brightly lit inn. At the center of it all was a bald man with a beard and an apron standing behind a large wooden counter, wiping it down with a towel, kegs stacked behind him. There were about 15 people sitting around various tables, drinking ale, some eating, and in the far corner a couple of women in thick cotton dresses were happily dancing to the sound of the cheery music that the 2 nearby musicians were playing. It was like I had been transported into my favorite RPG tavern. But wait, that's what really happened. I immediately noticed Jax sitting in a far corner across from a man half his size. The other man was stout, with a large flat forehead and long tangled red beard. Jax was laughing at something as they both knocked their mugs together and took a swig of ale. Several empty mugs were pushed off to the side of the table. Jax noticed me out of the corner of his eye as I approached, and turned with a large smile on his face.
Gunner, he scanned me up and down. You look like a new man.
Not quite as noob, right? If I didn't know any better, I'd guess you were at least level 10. And I learned a couple spells, too. Jax's head jerked back and he looked at his companion out of the corner of his eye. He gave a slight smile to his friend, then patted the wooden bench beside him. Have a seat and order yourself some ale. A mug is only 2 gold. I sat down behind him and shook my head. I'm down to my last 5 gold pieces. I should probably save it. Oh, hell. Jax huffed and leaned back, turning his head towards the innkeeper. Can we get another round? He yelled and pointed to our table. All 3 of us. The innkeeper smiled and nodded. I've got you covered. Next time, save a little bit of your gold for food and drink. Gotta learn to have a little fun after a long day. He leaned in close and whispered the rest in my ear. And it's never a good idea to discuss your magic in a place like this. You don't want to attract the wrong kind of attention. I wasn't sure what he meant by that, but I just nodded in understanding. Kronos, this is Gunner, Jax said. He's pretty good with a bow. Helped with a few kills today. Oi, the dwarf said and raised his mug to his lips. After a large swig, he clicked his lips and exhaled. Not like you to hang round folks much. Is he your kin? No, just someone helping me out with a few tasks. Jax turned to me and winked.
Well, look at these 3 fellas.
A group of 3 women seemed to appear out of nowhere and shimmied over to our table.
If I never see a more handsome lot,
one of the women cooed and shook her shoulders. The 3 girls were quite attractive, and the tight, ruffled tops they were wearing seemed intended to show off the fact that they were all well endowed.
How about some company?
One of the ladies said as she plopped herself in Jax's lap, not waiting for a response. Another squatted down and rubbed her finger down Kronos's beard. Careful now, Jax said as he balanced his mug in his hand, trying to avoid spilling it on the frisky lady. The innkeeper slammed a mug of ale in front of me and slid another 2 in front of Kronos and Jax, as I felt a soft hand reach between my lowered cowl and tunic, squeezing on my flesh.
Relax and enjoy yourself, handsome.
I swallowed and grinned shyly as I picked the ale up and brought it to my lips. Jax turned and raised his ale in the air.
Relax.
I spent the next 3 hours drinking and listening to Kronos and Jax share stories of their adventures. Kronos did most of the talking, telling tales that seemed exaggerated out of proportion. Slaying giant monsters solo, sailing across oceans and finding caverns filled with magic treasure. It all seemed fabricated beyond belief, but Jax and the ladies ate it up. The pair continued to buy rounds, and by the end of the night, we were all drunk, especially me. Yesterday, I would have been shocked to think it were possible to get drunk in a game, but thus far, nothing seemed impossible in Eden's Gate.
So, these 3 ghouls are chasing me down Shadowrock Mountain. And I've got maybe 10% of my health left, and my stamina is just about spent.
Kronos gloated, waving his hands around as he told his story.
I was halfway near pissing my pants until...
Thunk. My head smacked hard against the wooden table, waking me right up from my about-to-pass-out moment. The girl beside me stroked my hair.
Oh, poor baby, drunk as a skunk.
I grabbed my head and moaned. The room was spinning.
I guess I had a little too much ale.
You should go ahead and sleep it off in one of the rooms, Jax said. We'll head out first thing in the morning.
How much is a room? I asked.
Probably more than you have, but I'll cover you for tonight.
Jax turned towards the innkeep and yelled,
Got a room for this one?
Room number 10 is open,
the innkeeper replied. Go on. Jax motioned his head towards the stairs as he got up to pay the innkeeper. I stood slowly, and the girl who had been fawning over me all night rose up with me, making sure I didn't fall.
Safe journey,
Kronos said as he raised a half-empty mug, dumping it down his throat. His stomach seemed to have an endless hole designed specifically for beer.
Nice to meet you, I slurred.
I struggled up the stairs with the girl hanging on to me each step of the way,
and on the second level of the inn was a long, straight hall with several doors on either side. Thankfully, we didn't have to walk far before we were in front of a wooden door with the number 10 nailed to the front. I pushed open the door, and inside was a low bed, a table, a cabinet, and a chest. Simple, but effective. "Thanks," I said to the girl as I waited for her to turn and leave.
"What?"
The drunken girl looked perplexed.
"You don't want any company, sweetheart?"
She rubbed her fingers down her neck and across her bosom.
"Sleeping alone is never fun."
I was tempted. I really was. The way her breasts were spilling out of her shirt was even more titillating in my drunken state, and I wasn't used to attractive girls throwing themselves at me the way she was. But I knew whatever price she had for a night of fun was way more than I had. And given how real Eden's Gate was, I wouldn't have been surprised if they programmed STDs into the game as well. I didn't want to wake up with an icon that said, "You have been diseased," and find myself on a quest to find a great wizard of wart removal. Nah. And if Rachel found out I was sleeping with NPCs, that probably wouldn't go over very well either. "Sorry, but I think I'll spend the night alone." The girl pouted and crossed her arms as I closed and locked the door. I could hear her feet pounding on the steps as she went back downstairs. I lay my head down on the soft mattress of the bed and rested my head on the pillow, my head still spinning. My mind shifted back towards Rachel. I wondered what she was doing, or if she was even still in-game. Hell, I had been having so much fun all day that I had practically forgotten about my dilemma. I had gone on a bit of an adventure, learned magic, and had a great time drinking with friends. Friends. If I had been out in the real world, with a couple of guys, I'd feel out of place and like everyone was judging me, which they probably would be. But somehow I felt comfortable when I was downstairs with the hunter and the dwarf. And magic? I rubbed my fingers together and replayed the moment I sent a fireball into the wall. The feeling of using magic was indescribable. I couldn't wait to get even more powerful, to cast more spells. Did I even care anymore if I was stuck in a game? Did I even want to go home? I wasn't sure anymore. Already, Eden's Gate was starting to feel like a place where I wanted to stay. But maybe that was the alcohol talking. The party downstairs continued on, and the music they were playing easily pierced through the uninsulated walls of the inn. In fact, I could still hear the faint sound of muffled voices traveling through the air. "Let's talk business," I thought I heard. In fact, it sounded a lot like Jax's voice.
"Let's,"
another voice said. That was definitely Kronos. I sat up in my bed, head still spinning, and navigated toward the floor. At the very edge of the bed was a small hole where light and sound was passing through, unobstructed. I peeked through the hole and could see the top of Jax's and Kronos's heads. I had been placed in a room directly above the table where I was sitting earlier. I placed my ear up to the hole and listened.
"Are you sure you can get it?"
Kronos asked. "I can't be sure, but there's a very good chance. I'm convinced that the sword is still in Numbunga's cave."
"How are you going to do it? That's all I want to know."
"I can't reveal all my secrets, Kronos.
Having my brother's sword would mean a lot to me and my family."
"How much does it mean to you, exactly?"
1,500 gold,
Kronos said. 2,000, Jax countered.
1,700,
Kronos bantered back. 1,800.
"All right," Kronos said. "If you can get me the sword, then I'll get you 1,800 gold. But I suspect that if you're going down into the cave with that ogre, I won't be seeing you again."
"Don't worry," Jax assured him. "I'll either get the sword or I won't. Either way, I won't die, I assure you that."
"We'll see about that," Kronos said.
I stood from the floor and my ears were burning. What the fuck? Jax had commissioned me to go into the cave to get the sword, but in exchange he only planned to teach me alchemy. He never mentioned that the sword was worth a small fortune, nor had he offered me any of the money if he sold it.
I had just decked myself in a few decent starting items for a little less than 20 gold. 1,800 gold would change everything for me. I could buy new weapons, scrolls, and who knows what else. Maybe that's why Jax was being so friendly towards me? He was just using me to go into the cave and collect the sword. At first, I thought I was getting a good deal with him offering to teach me alchemy, but now I was second-guessing the offer. My head swam as I lay back down on the bed, and I was having trouble processing the newfound information in my drunken state. I still planned to go down into the cave, but now I had some serious thinking to do.
Chapter 9. Month 1, Day 3, Year 1.
I raised my hand towards the squirrel and sent a blazing fire blast in its direction. The impact of the spell sent it hurling back, and the carcass made a sizzling noise as the creature died.
You have gained 25 XP.
Nice, Jack said, but it's a bit pointless to use that on a squirrel. The pelt is ruined, and the meat is charred. Just practice, I explained. I want to make sure I'm comfortable with the spell when I use it in a real situation, and I get XP.
Jax shrugged. All right.
As we continued through the forest, heading back towards Jax's cabin, I had been looking at anything and everything for target practice. I had to be careful using Fire Blast. I didn't want to cause a forest fire, but any time I saw a squirrel or a large rock in a relatively clear position, I'd send a fire blast its way. When we came to a clearing with a stump surrounded by a circle of barren dirt, I knocked an arrow and focused on my other magic spell, Fire Arrow. The arrow burst into flames the moment I tried to light it, and I just about caught my bow on fire before it crumbled into ash and fell to the ground.
What the hell? I asked.
So, you have Fire Arrow too?
Yeah, I replied.
I've seen Scourge Archers use the spell before. You have to cast it on the arrow as it's flying through the air. I knocked another arrow, aimed for the stump, and let the arrow fly. As the arrow soared, I tried casting Fire Arrow, but the arrow just landed in the stump and burst into flames a second later.
Your timing is off. If you want to get the full effect of the spell, you'll need it to light while it's still in the air.
I made a mental note of that, and we moved on. I definitely needed to practice Fire Arrow, but unlike shooting normal arrows, I obviously couldn't just recover the arrow that I burned to ash. I'd have to use the spell sparingly, or I'd run out of arrows.
How'd you afford your armor and two spells when you were in Linden?
Jax asked.
I imagine a magic user would charge you at least a few hundred gold, just to teach you the basics of fire magic. That's if they'd even be willing to teach you.
I shrugged. It's a long story, but I found someone who offered me a one-time deal. Being vague was better than telling him that I sabotaged the nicest guy in town to help a crabby magician. The journey through Addenfall Forest seemed to go quicker on our way back, probably because I'd been practicing Fire Blast every chance I got. And by the time we arrived at the mouth of Numbunga's cave, I had already progressed 20% through the first level of fire magic.
Are you sure you want to go down there? Jax asked. If you'd like to take some time to rest up in the cabin first, we can do so.
I looked at the cave, its deep dark staring back at me. I had almost died the last time I was down there, but before I had nothing but my starting dagger. Now I had gained a few levels, had armor, a bow, and fire magic even.
I think I'll go now, I said confidently.
Jack smiled and fetched a few items out of his bag for me.
You've received Basic Torch, 0-1 attack damage. Durability, 10/10. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight, 0.3 kilograms. This item provides a basic light source when lit. You've received Minor Healing Potion. Durability, 10/10. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Drink to recover 50 HP over 5 seconds. You've received Minor Cure Potion. Durability, 10/10. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Drink to cure minor poison effects. You've received Small Bandage. Durability, 5/5. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Useful for healing light wounds.
I'll be nearby hunting for food. If you haven't come back out for too long, then I'll assume you've died.
I'll be back, I said with a smile.
Maybe.
I had kept the information that I learned at the inn in the back of my mind the whole trip through Addenfall, and had considered confronting Jax about it. But, to be fair, I wasn't even sure if the sword was still there, or if I'd be able to recover it. I needed to have the item in my hands before I made any decisions. Jax nodded, and his words seemed sincere.
Be careful down there.
I stopped at the mouth of the cave as Jax disappeared through the trees and took a moment to pull up my stat screen. I still had 4 attribute points and 2 level points to allocate. I placed 1 AP in dexterity and 3 AP in intelligence. I still wasn't sure how much I would focus on my dexterity-based skills as I progressed, but after casting my first fire blast, I was certain that I would put a heavy emphasis on magic. I used 1 LP in my archery skill and 1 LP in my fire magic. I noticed that leveling my skills via level points reset my progress to 0% in each skill, so I lost all the progress I made in the previous level. I would have to consider that as I continued to level. It was probably a better idea to save LP for a skill that I just finished leveling up for the most effectiveness. Gunner Long, race, human, level 3, progress 49%. Title, none. Health, 120. Mana, 100. Stamina, 100. Strength, 10. Dexterity, 14. Intelligence, 13. Vitality, 10. Wisdom, 10. Willpower, 10. Charisma, 10. AR rating, 34. Resists, 10% fire resistance. Traits, none. Primary skills, first aid level 1, progress 10%. Inspect level 1, progress 20%. Sneak level 1, progress 75%. Combat skills, dodge level 1, progress 20%. Small blades level 1, progress 75%. Backstab level 1, progress 5%. Archery level 3, progress 0%. Magic skills, fire magic level 2, progress 0%. I closed my status screen and started my descent into the mouth of the cave. I grabbed at roots and vines as I climbed down the slippery dirt, and I was only halfway down the passage when the familiar smell of death hit my nostrils. The smell was even worse than I remembered, if that were possible, and I took 2 short, shallow breaths to avoid inhaling a big whiff of the pungent air. Halfway down is when I started noticing tiny maggots clinging on the ground and surrounding the walls. As the slope of the passage leveled out and I reached the area where the last drop of light shined from above, I quickly pulled out my torch and lit it with my flint and steel. The light from the torch lit up the dark cavern, and as expected, maggots were everywhere, feasting on the giant rotten carcass. The dead ogre had since had more of its flesh and entrails whittled away, and a pool of foul liquid surrounded the area around the body. The sword was still there, catching the light of the torch as it leaned passively against the cavern wall. I immediately saw the enormous maggot from before, which appeared to have doubled in size and changed from its previous pale white color to a dark brown hue. The horde of giant maggots that had been feasting away on the rot turned when they sensed the light and screeched loudly, bringing back the terrible memory of my first moments in the world. The massive brown maggot was a little bit slower to turn around, but when it did, its bubbling cry made the hair on the back of my neck stand on end. All but the largest maggot rushed toward me at an alarming speed, leaving me little time to think. I reached my arm out and cast Fire Blast towards the thick of the group, the impact causing the closest to the blast to explode and be tossed aside, while several of the maggots nearby curled when their bodies made contact with the residual flames. 3 more times I cast Fire Blast at the giant maggots, whittling their numbers down substantially each time. By that point, my mana was down to 20%, so I dropped my torch, unsheathed my bow, and started knocking arrow after arrow at the maggots who were still squirming their way towards me. I started with whatever maggot was closest, and each time my arrow landed against their squishy flesh, they were easily punctured and pinned to the ground, while a nasty liquid gushed out of their wounds.
The smell of the tiniest maggots sizzling where I had unleashed my fire, coupled with the smell of maggot guts and rotting flesh, made breathing practically unbearable. And with only a couple of giant maggots still alive, I ran back towards the tunnel which I came from so I could catch my breath. After scrambling 5 or 6 meters up the passage, I turned and took a long, deep huff of air. The air there was still rank, but it was nowhere near as bad as the odor on the cave floor. It was only then that I noticed that I had spent all but 20 of my stamina in my flurry of arrows and quick scramble to retreat, but the bar was filling back up fast. My mana, however, was still only at 35% and recovering slowly. If I was going to pursue a path of magic, I would definitely need to focus a few points in wisdom to help with that. I looked down the passage and could see the 2 remaining giant maggots trying their best to climb the slope of the passage. They would jump and try to latch on, but each time they tried, the weight of their fattened bodies caused them to lose their grip and fall back down the floor screaming. I braced myself, readied my bow, and lobbed a couple arrows down at the easy targets, finishing off the last of the giant maggots.
Advancement. You have reached level 4 and gained 3 attribute points. To assign your attribute points, open your status page. You can also increase any of your known skills by 1 level. Choose wisely, as your choices cannot be undone. You have gained 10 HP.
Hell yeah, I thought. The boom of the drums every time I leveled was always exciting, and that was the first time that I noticed that both my stamina and mana jumped to 100% the moment I reached a level. Awesome. I immediately opened my status page and assigned 2 of my AP to wisdom and 1 to intelligence. But since my encounter with maggots had given me a substantial bump in archery and fire magic, I decided to save my LP for later. I closed the status page and considered the fact that the one massive maggot hadn't attacked. It chased after me on my first day in Eden's Gate when I was running for the cave exit. But this time it didn't move other than turning around and screaming at me. And why was it suddenly brown? I suppose sitting around a pool of rotten mess might change its color, but all the other maggots were still a pale white. Whatever the case, it was very weird, and I needed to get back down there and kill that thing if I were going to scavenge the cave in safety. I headed back to the cave floor and fetched my torch, which was lying on the ground, burning, and recovered a few of my arrows from the closest maggots that were lying nearby. The large mutant magic was back to eating the flesh of the ogre, and seemingly had forgot that I was down there, even after killing all of its friends. It was a dumb being, whatever it was. I crouched down and slowly crept a little closer to the monstrosity, trying hard to use my inspect skill on it.
You have failed to inspect your target. You have failed to inspect your target.
After a few more tries, some details of the monster finally appeared.
Name, Maggot Queen Pupa. Race, Insect. Level, 9. Health, 160. Mana, 80. Stamina, 80. Status, Aggressive.
Pupa? I remembered something about those from my high school science class. Something regarding the stage that insects went through right before they transformed into whatever being they were destined to be. That would explain the change in its skin color. The Maggot Queen was level 9, which would make it the strongest creature that I had encountered since I had been in Eden's Gate. But if the thing was going to transform into something else soon, I didn't have time to go back out of the cave and level up. I needed to kill it now, before it got stronger. I held out my hand and cast Fire Blast at the Maggot Queen, and it reared its head back and screeched. The spot where my blast made impact with the pupa sizzled a bit and left a black mark. But other than royally pissing off the maggot, it didn't seem to do a whole lot of damage. The maggot flailed its body back and forth against the ground, its heavy weight causing the walls of the cavern to rattle and tiny pebbles of dirt to fall from the ceiling. Although it didn't seem like the pupa was mobile, it had enough power that it could crush me if I got too close. I readied my bow and knocked an arrow, aiming directly for its fang-filled, puckered mouth. But with it moving around so much, my arrow missed its mouth and stuck its body instead. But rather than penetrating the maggot's flesh, the arrow simply ricocheted off and tumbled to the ground without doing any real damage. The maggot screeched again, reared its head back, and then towards me, Its puckered mouth opened wide, and a thick yellow substance rocketed out of its mouth like a pressured water hose. I tried to dodge the blast, but the spray of liquid was too wide, and I got a face full of nasty goop. My skin burned when the maggot's acid hit me, and the smell was so overwhelming that I dropped to my knees and evacuated the sausage and eggs breakfast that Jax and I had eaten at the Linden Inn early in the morning. I coughed hard and wiped my mouth of vomit, then rubbed my hands across my face, trying to clear any acid away from my eyes, and scurried backwards, desperate to get out of range of another blast. Fuck, I cursed. That one hit knocked out 25% of my health, and my stamina was dropped to 50% instantly. I also had that dreaded green skull and crossbones hovering below my stat bars.
You have been poisoned and require medical attention. Poison is a weakening and damage over time effect.
My stomach turned inside me like the writhing maggots that I had just killed, and the pain coursed up and down my spine. My health bar dropped to 70%. I watched as the maggot queen pounded its body from side to side and tried to formulate a plan. I was down to roughly 10 arrows and still had most of my mana, but both my archery and fire blast seemed ineffective. I had a cure potion, but if I drank it right away, I might get sprayed again by another blast, and another poisoning would probably kill me, even if I managed to kill the queen first. The problem was, the damn thing's hard skin seemed to absorb my fire blast and my arrow strikes. The only weak spot that it seemed to have was its mouth, but the chances of me getting a solid shot into its trap with it flopping around the way it was slim. There was a possibility that my dagger would be more effective, but I ran the risk of getting crushed under the weight of the monster if I got too close and couldn't avoid its slams. Fire arrow. I wasn't sure if it would work, or even if I could get the timing down right, but it seemed like the last logical step to try. Otherwise, I'd have to call it a day and come back again after a couple levels, hoping it hadn't mutated any further. I stood to my feet, fighting off the weakness from the poisoning, and gripped my bow tightly. I stepped forward into the maggot queen's range of attack and braced myself for another spew. The pupa screeched just as it had before, reared its head back, then forward, shooting another load of vile liquid from its mouth. I ducked and rolled this time, narrowly missing the projectile's path, and ran as fast as I could toward the maggot queen's flank. Another pulse of pain was felt, and my health dropped 5% more as I dropped to one knee and pulled back a single arrow as hard as I could. I released the bowstring, and in the short time it was in the air, I concentrated on my fire arrow spell, and this time it had the desired effect. There was a slight whoosh sound as the arrow tip changed to a glowing hot red, and flames trailed the shaft of the arrow. The scalding arrow tip pierced the queen's shell as it made contact, and a flash of fire exploded out of the point of impact. The pupa screeched even louder as its hard casing near the area impacted fell charred to the ground, and a green gooey liquid poured out of its side. Inside the shell, I could see a long stringy black leg kick out and a mess of other jumbled appendages jumping around randomly as the pupa floundered about. Whatever was inside that thing was about to come out. I ran forward as the sound of the pupa's shell cracking caught my ears, and fired another fire arrow, which seemed to rock the maggot queen, then followed it up with another two fire blasts to the exposed portion of the insect body underneath. My mana was almost spent. The mangled creature writhed on the ground, but I could still see the inner insect kicking out a leg against the ground. I sheathed my bow and grabbed my dagger from my satchel, jumping on top of the pupa just as two giant eyes stretched open the queen maggot's mouth and made its first contact with the cavern's air. I aimed the dagger for the crevice right between the insect's two giant globes and thrust it down as hard as I could. More green liquid gushed from where I penetrated its head, and the creature kicked out its leg hard enough that I fell off the slippery pupa shell.
You have reached level 2 in small blades.
The impact of the fall knocked 10% of my health off, and then a surge of poison pain depleted another 5%. But the dagger attack proved worth it. The maggot queen kicked its leg again, softer, and then softer again,
before it wasn't moving at all. You have gained 350 XP.
Fuck you, maggot bitch, I panted and chuckled to myself as I tried to catch my breath. Hell yes!
I reached inside my satchel as another poison pain gripped my body and pulled out the cure potion, pouring it down my throat as fast as I could. The taste was a mix of mint and pine, with the slightest hint of cucumber. Immediately, the green skull and crossbones disappeared, and I felt a little stronger. I followed it up by drinking the health potion. I figured that I could probably survive on the health I still had left, since there were no more baddies around, but I didn't want to risk killing myself if there were any traps or dangers that I had yet to see. I sat there on the ground as my stamina recovered, and the heal potion took care of the acid damage. The scalded areas of my skin seemed to regenerate into healthy skin right before my eyes.
I guess it's time to see if this was all worth it, I said out loud.
I stood to my feet and walked across the cavern to pick up my fallen torch. Then I immediately headed for the sword.
You've received unidentified magic sword. Requires 17 strength. Durability, 8 out of 10. Quality, exceptional. Rarity, epic. Weight, 4.0 kilograms. You have completed all requirements for the quest Old Numbunga's Cave. Return the sword to Jax to collect your reward.
As I lifted the sword in my hands, I was immediately impressed by the craftsmanship. The blade was thick in the center and sloped down to an ultra-sharp tip. I grabbed it with both hands by the jagged golden hilt and tried to swing it around, but each attempted swing drained 50% of my stamina, and my movement with it was really, really slow.
Too damn heavy, I muttered. There was no way I was going to be able to use a sword that required 17 strength when I only had 10.
The hilt had two oval impressions carved out on either side, and above them was the carving of a bear. I didn't know what any of it meant, but the sword definitely looked expensive. The few other swords that I had seen in-game so far were quite basic in comparison. Did Jax really think that I wouldn't notice that this was an extraordinary item? Did he really think that I would just go into the cave, retrieve the sword, and just hand it to him in exchange for simple alchemy training? I mean, he thought I might be coming here to steal the sword away from a living ogre, but even fighting the maggot queen was damn exhausting. Jax hadn't done anything at all. While I was down here in a smelly-ass cavern risking my life, he was out hunting for food. Why would he deserve to claim the 1,800 gold? I deserved at least half, probably all. In fact, what was stopping me from marching the sword down to Linden and selling it to Kronos or one of the vendors? Or what was stopping me from keeping the sword? It would be a massive upgrade from my training dagger, and I just needed to level a few times and invest all my points into strength before I could wield it properly.
Critical choice detected. You have reached a critical choice. In Eden's Gate, you will reach critical moments in which you will face complicated choices that will affect you and the world around you substantially. There is no right or wrong way to approach these critical choices, but be aware that your decisions could result in major rewards or grave consequences, and may also shape the world around you in unexpected ways. Choose carefully. This is a one-time message that you will not see again as you reach future critical points.
Interesting. Even the game seemed to recognize that I could easily abandon my quest and keep the sword, or sell it if I wanted to. And the more I thought about it, selling it seemed like the best option for me. 1,800 gold would be huge for a low level like me, and would give me a substantial advantage towards leveling and getting better gear. Lying on the ground near the sword was a dirty sheath that obviously belonged to the weapon. I slid the sword inside and attached it to my armor as I continued to look around the cave. There was a large wooden chest near the ogre's body, which I found was unlocked as I lifted the lid. Inside were several dead bats and a number of weapons that were rusted beyond recognition, but there were a few salvageable items and many gold coins scattered along the bottom.
You've received corroded short sword, 7 to 12 attack damage, durability 6 of 10, quality poor, rarity common. Weight, 2.9 kilograms. You've received ringmail gauntlets, plus 10 armor. Durability, 8 out of 10. Quality, average. Rarity, common. Weight,
1.4 kilograms. You've received minor healing potion, durability 10 out of 10. Quality, average, rarity, common. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Drink to recover 50 HP over 5 seconds. You've received 133.